November 8, Victor Lima Charlie monitoring. NHCLC mobile. NHCLC mobile. Come on, people, it's cold outside. Let's warm up that repeater.
I only caught part of that. I think it was ELC. This is Whiskey 6, Mike Gecko Tango.
Well, good morning. It's November 8th, Victor Lima Charlie.
Gotcha, Victor Lima Charlie. Whiskey 6, Mike Echo Tango. Name's Mike here. I'm just passing through, heading down to Indianapolis, but caught you as I was scanning.
Oh, okay. We're on the road, too. We're going down to Sterling Heights, but nice that somebody picked up the call. Thank you so much. What are you going to Indianapolis for?
Oh, just picking up my daughter and her roommate from college. They're finished for their winter break, so we'll have them back home for about the next 3 weeks now.
Oh, that's nice for the holidays. Well, it's wonderful you're spending it with family.
Yeah, we'll see how much free time she gets. She's working her way through college, so she's planning on spending most of her break actually saving up for her spring semester. So we'll take whatever time we can get.
Well, it's nice that she's that ambitious and gung-ho. That's wonderful. What are your roads like driving down there?
It's nothing too bad. It's fairly clear now. Started up near Caro, there north of Lapeer, and it was pretty wet still, but most everything had been melted with the salt. I haven't had any slick spots yet, and the further south I'm going, it looks like it's quite a bit drier now.
Yeah, we're on 24, and the roads aren't bad at all. They're dry. The sun's out. Everything looks good. It's just that cold.
Yeah, almost 2 hours now on the road, and I still can't get all of the windows cleared off with the frost. Just between driving the freeway and the ambient temperature, I think I'm going to have trouble seeing out all my windows most of the morning now.
Well, that's not good. Just be careful and motor on. Stay safe.
Oh, same to you. You're on 24. Where'd you start from as you're heading down towards Sterling Heights?
Metamora-Hadley area, just 24 and Pratt Road area.
Okay. Vaguely familiar. I don't head down that way too often, but occasionally work will take me down towards Macomb County, so I'll either take 24 or 53 as I'm heading down that direction.
And where did you start from?
I came out of Caro, so straight north on 24, about 45 minutes north of Lapeer.
Yep, I know Caro area very well. Well, you've got quite a drive ahead of you. Hopefully, the sun will stay out and it'll be a good day for you the farther south you get.
Yeah, I am hoping so. It looks to be fairly cloudy, but at least the sun is out now and you can see what's going on around you. Not quite sure how far this link is going to carry me south of Lansing right now, but if I start to drop off, hope you have safe travels and enjoy the rest of your day. This is W6MET.
And enjoy your trip as well. And, yeah, you're cutting out a little bit, so I will say 7-3. Have a very happy holiday with your family. I wish your daughter lots of luck in her spring semester. This is NHCLC.
73, W6MET, monitoring.
It's W8QW on frequency and listening. Apologies, didn't mean the dead key. This is Kilo Foxtrot 8, Charlie Delta Kilo.
NATYU, NATYU, this is NACLC.
KFACBP, this is KFACLL, do you copy?
This is KFACBP, yes sir, you have a copy.
All right, so Ricky, just getting ready for the Friday night SSTV net that I'm going to run tonight. Again, if there's any other hands out there listening, I have been moving the dates. I think Friday's just right for us all, because then there's another one on the WABCI on Sunday, and it's pretty cool. It's like pretty close to each other, but it's all in good timing for the weekend, so... Ricky, what's your opinion on that? Do you think it's a good idea? Or what do you think about it?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. Have them pretty close to each other.
All right, well, I don't know. My ham radio chat is getting a little bit cold. You know what that is, that's just my bedroom because that's exactly where it's located, surprisingly. And I tell you what, the window in here is completely busted out at the top, and you know, it's letting the cold air in. I don't like that. It almost makes it hard to keep in here because I almost always, all year round, sit with a fan, and in the wintertime it gets cold, especially with that fan. It accelerates the cooling the air in the room, so it gets really cold. Anyway, back to you, Ricky.
Yeah, it does let all the cold air in. Well, looking forward to the net tonight. I'm going to let you go. If there's any other hams listening, I would maybe join his net. That'd be nice. Could kindly ask you to do that, as I'm sure you really want some check-ins, and we are best friends after all, so, yeah. So, this is KFACPP 73 to you, Jason, and I'll be going clear.
One more thing, Ricky, by the way, this is KFACLL. I've been listening to KFACLL. I'm going to chat after me and Ricky's little session here, just call out for my call sign. Anyway, Ricky, I was going to ask you one more thing. Maybe this Christmas, if I can get, it should only cost like $50, I'm not even that, I don't even need it from you, but maybe my mom might be able to help me buy it. I'm going to try to buy the equivalent amount of material to make 2 tape measure Yagis for the Beaver Man, and I was going to see if you wanted one, because I was going to make one for you. Anyway, this is JFACOL. Dr. Ricky.
This is KF8CPP. Yeah, sure. Sure, you can give me one of the Yagis if you want to. So, yeah. If you wanna do that, that's fine.
Alright, KF8COO, SA73 to you. And I'll be clear after your final transmission.
Alright, 73 to you as well. KF8CPP, I'll be going clear.
NAPLC monitoring. NAPLC monitoring.
NAVLC, KF8AYL. How are you doing this afternoon, Vicki?
Good afternoon, Ken. I wasn't sure anybody was listening out there. I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing just splendid. Yeah, I had the radio on while I was working on my trailer here in the cold, getting my fingers nice and cold and cold grease. That's always fun.
Well, didn't you just pick a fine day for working outside? It's supposed to get a little bit warmer here, I think, over the weekend, but yesterday and today were pretty frigid.
Yeah, it's a little cold. That's all right. I don't mind the cold too much. I think it's supposed to warm up and rain, I think, and then get back down in the 20s again.
Yeah, the cold, you know, the cold's one thing, but the biting wind is what I can't tolerate. But, that said, we didn't have any wind today, so that was nice. The sun helped a lot. But, no, we were out running around all morning. Then got home, built a fire, I'm hunkered down, so I'm in for the night.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that one. Yesterday was windy. I wasn't doing much outside yesterday, but today's kind of nice. It's just cold, but there's not a breath of wind here.
So what is it you're working on, your truck or what?
Our equipment trailer that I used to haul stuff back and forth to our UP place. Just going through it, hadn't repacked the bearings and the wheels for 5, 6, 7 years. I don't remember the last time I did it, but just getting it ready for the spring. Usually I wait until April and then like 2 weeks before I want to use it, and I'm like, oh crap, I should do that. I'm getting ahead of it this year.
Yeah, we've been kind of doing the same thing. We've, you know, working. Well, we had such a nice November. I mean, it was so warm. And a lot of the stuff that we normally put off until, say, February, March outside, we got out and took care of early this year. And, you know, we're going to have to try to remember to do that from now on, because it just, come spring, everything feels like it's such a rush, and you start out behind. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I know that feeling all too well. That's kind of why I was trying to get ahead of this, even though it's kind of cold out. I'm like, I can take these hubs off. It's not a big deal. But
Yeah, you put the rubber gloves on and start scooping grease out of those things. I'm like, yeah, it's pretty cold. My hands are getting cold.
As long as you get yourself back inside when the sun goes down, you'll be all right. Warm them up. Wrap up in a heating pad. You'll be good.
Yeah, well, I've just been picking at it, so just doing like one a day. Get the grease scooped out, get it in the parts washer, leave it sit there, soak overnight, and then repeat the process the next day. But I got all four done now on those. Still doing the trailer decking, though, too. Had to redeck it. It was starting to get rotten boards on it. The trailer manufacturer had used. We had paid for upgraded oak. I assumed it would be white oak, but no. They put red oak on it. Red oak is porous and is not resistant to rot. So I don't even know who uses red oak on trailers, but I'm kind of missed about that. But I got white oak replacement for it, so we're going to get those on here too in the next week or two.
So you were up in the UP for, what, a month? I didn't hear you down here at all, and you just recently got back, what, a couple of weeks ago?
I was pretty much up north from, like, end of July to early November. And then I was home for, like, a week, and I went our customary deer hunting with my dad, who's 86, and my brother and uncles and whatnot. So, yeah, when I got back from that, at like before Thanksgiving, that I was back right before Thanksgiving for the most part. So, but yeah, it was a good 2 month stretch there. I was going building the barn up there, getting it going. It I got all the posts in and. I got all the posts in and all the wall girts on. It's ready for trusses. Spring.
Well, excellent. I wasn't sure whether you were working on the house or not. Now, you're able to live in the house, right?
Yep, the house is fully functional. I mean, it's beat up and the mechanicals are a little rough. You got to be careful where you plug certain things in, because with some of the plugs are knob and tube, some of the plugs are 60s silver stuff, some of the plugs are modern Ramex. you just got to be careful. I did replumb it and patch at least all the major fixtures. I did home run patch just real quick, but I wouldn't call it a final plumbing job, but I had to replumb it because the plumbing was old galvanized pipe that looked like somebody who's been eating bacon their whole life, arteries or whatever. that wasn't working anymore, so I had to do that. But, yeah, the house is livable.
So how big is the barn? Is it a pole barn, or how are you designing it?
It is a pole construction. It's a 40 by 80. 13 tall, and but my poles are what they call permacolumns, so the lower 5 feet is concrete, so there's no wood in the ground, and then the upper portion is a laminated, like 3 2x6s that were laminated together to constitute the posts, because if you use like 6x6 posts or whatever, those tend to candy cane up on you. I never like that, so. I use a laminated post with the concrete lowers.
Yeah, you're like my husband. He likes to put concrete in the ground, not wood. We've never had a whole lot of luck with that. But so where are you building your trusses? Are you buying them? Or how are you managing that?
No, I'll buy a truss package. They're actually not too bad. For the 40 by 80, I think it was $9,000 for the truss package. And that is, so yeah, I didn't think that was bad at all.
no, it's not. Terry's brother works for a trust company. Where did you get yours from?
I'm just going to order them from the local lumberyard there, who's getting them from, I don't remember the name of the actual truss manufacturer. He gave me the drawing. It has their name on it. I looked them up. They're somewhere on the east end of the UP, I think, the actual truss manufacturer. But
yeah, his brother works for Michigan Timber and Truss. They're over there in Burton, Flint area. But he's hauling trusses all over the place. He goes up in the UP. He goes over into, you know, what's the outside of, I'm not going to be able to think of it. Outside of Sheboygan. Anyways, he hauls those things all over the place. So I was just curious.
I got a package all picked out. I haven't ordered it yet. I won't order it till the spring because they're going to come in and they're going to want to go drop them off at the job site as soon as they come in. So I don't want them sitting there in the snow until I'm ready to actually put them up.
Are you actually going to put them up, or are they going to do it for you? Or because you're going to have to, you know, rent a some sort of a piece of equipment to get them up there, aren't you?
No, I'll put them up. I'm building a boom pole here for my tractor, and I'll put that on my bucket. It's got enough lift force that it should be able to lift these ones high enough to, with the boom pole cantilevered out like that, it should be able to handle it. But we'll find out. It could be fun.
Well, yikes. Just make sure you got somebody there with a cell phone in just in case. That sounds pretty scary if you ask me.
It should be all right. The design is pretty well proven, so as long as the tractor can lift it. If the tractor can't lift it, it's going to let you know. It's just not going to lift it, so it shouldn't really be dangerous. But, yeah, I got a bunch of people that are kind of on the list that said they're going to come help on Truss Week, so we'll see if they show up.
Yeah, saying's one thing, doing's another, isn't it, when it comes to stuff like that?
Yep, that's absolutely true, but I think two guys holding ropes, well, I drive it down the center and then get on the ladders and get it fastened down. I think three guys could probably do it. I think five guys would be much better, but three guys could do it.
Well, I wish you all the luck with that job, that's for sure. But once you get those trusses up, I think everything else will fall into line pretty quickly, won't it?
Well, the steel could be fun. The one side's got a lean-to on it, so I just did a 412 pitch, but with an extra 10 feet of lean-to, those pieces of steel on that roof are going to be pretty long. So, I don't know. I've never handled steel like that, so I got to figure out how to handle it. But every step of the process is just kind of figure it out. So, we'll figure it out.
So, is this going to be like a storage equipment barn, or is it a livestock facility, or what's your main purpose for it?
It's going to be fully insulated and lined inside and heated, at least to some temperable degree. I'm not going to keep it at 70, but keep it above freezing, you know, like 50, 55 or so. So it's somewhat comfortable in there in the winter. Then. No, it'll be a shop. I'll have a lift in there and all my stuff, all my equipment. And I got a few cars, so those will be stored in there. And so storage/shop, I guess.
set up now. When are you going to officially retire?
Well, there's a lot to do, so, I mean, I could probably retire, but I need to, after the barn's gone, I need to remodel that house. That's going to be a giant expense, so I'd like to be working during that. And then we got to do a few updates on this house out here to be able to sell it. So, yeah, probably, I'll work for a few years, so. Slow but sure.
Well, you certainly have your work cut out for you, don't you?
Yeah, that's what my mom says. She keeps asking me, so when are you going to hire the construction crew to actually finish the building? And I'm like, Mom, I'm building it. They wanted way too much money.
Yeah, I know. We're getting it to the point because Terry's the same way. He does everything all himself, you know, both of us. Throughout the years, we did it all ourselves. We completely remodeled this old farmhouse inside and out. And now we're getting to a point where it's like, you know what, just, and he still won't let anybody work on the house. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, when it comes to cutting down trees and that sort of thing, it's like, no, just hire somebody. They've got all the equipment. They know what they're doing. They can have it done and cleaned up in a couple of hours. It's going to take us a week to do it. So now we're kind of getting to the point where, yeah, we'll just let somebody come over and do it real fast, and we don't have to worry about it anymore. There's a lot to be said for that, believe me.
Oh, I hear you. I hear you on that one. I would have gladly paid somebody to build this barn, but the quotes I was getting were absolutely ridiculous. They wanted, like, the national builders like Morton and Cleary, they wanted over $200,000 to build that barn. And the local builders, they wanted, like, $170,000, and they were 3 years out because there's a building boom up there. And I'm like, what are you guys on here? Materials for this are like 50, 60 grand. How are you getting to 200? The standard for a building like this was always like twice materials. I kind of expected, like, you know, I should be able to have it built for like 100, 110. Nope. 200. I'm like, 200? What are you, nuts? That's crazy. I guess I'm building it myself.
That is insane. I can't believe that. Yeah, I don't blame you there. You know, that's where you find out who your friends are. Get them over there and help you pound some nails, you know. But that is crazy.
Yep, that's what I said when quotes started coming in. I'm like, I don't know what happened, but I had a barn built down here. I didn't build this barn on our property down here. I had Morton build it, and it was like 30 grand for a 30 by 50. And, you know, that was 2014 or something. And I figured, okay, so inflation, you know, double the size, you know, it should be like 100, 110, 120 or something. Nope, 200. Like, what? Where's that coming from?
Yeah, that's some severe sticker shock. We had a wee bit of that ourselves. We put a, you know, we got this wood stove in our kitchen. It's a wood cook stove. It's no big deal. Chimney goes up just through one floor, so it's not like we've got a, you know, a lot of chimney to it, a lot of stovepipe or anything. And we called the stove company, and because we said, you know, let's get them out here. They can have this thing cleaned in a matter of minutes, you know, because it's no big deal. And I called him up. I says, okay, what's it going to cost to, you know, sweep this chimney up? $400. I said, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, so that didn't happen, obviously. We went out and got the stuff to do it ourselves.
Yep, well, that guy's got
kids to feed and put through college. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what happens. I can't stand cleaning chimneys, but I still do it. I got a 32-foot ladder to clean the one we got here. I can't stand standing on top of that fly section, but we're going to have to figure something else out for that.
Yeah, we've got the wood burner in the basement, too, and Terry's always cleaned the one chimney. And we thought, well, you know, maybe we'll get a quote for the both of them. But it was just $400 for this little tiny one in the kitchen. It was like, well, no, I don't, I thought I had a heart attack because he gets up on the roof, and then I'm down below, although last year he had his brother over here. That was kind of nice. And his brother's, pulling the rope from the ground while Terry's pulling everything up. But I don't want him up on the roof all the time, He's kind of getting old. But we're just going to keep doing it as long as we can do it because that just feels like extortion. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you on that one. That's highway robbery for sure. Oh, well, if that's the world we live in today, I guess.
Yeah, it certainly is. There's nothing out there that's cheap anymore. And I should rephrase that, reasonable. But, we come from a time back in the day when, I sound like my mother. I remember when, but I can't believe the cost of things right now.
Yeah, I haven't been able to get any money out of my major customers for me. I got a little bit of money for a couple of my guys, but I give it to them. I haven't had to raise five, six, seven years. But, yeah, when COVID hit, they wanted a 10% discount right off the bat, and I said, well, that's fine, but I'm going to travel less then. Not going down there all the time like I used to. So that kind of worked out, but I haven't gotten a raise, certainly. But, I'm an IT guy, so I'm competing with offshore resources from, India and whatnot, all these guys that they get now, but whatever, it is what it is.
Well, I certainly hope that there's a silver lining coming around. I don't know what to expect from the new administration. I'm hopeful, but on the other hand, the world is on fire.
Yeah, there's crises everywhere you look, but I don't know. There's been times where I've been on planes with some older people, and I'm like, so you start getting conversations with them, and it's like, so you were in your 20s during the Cuban Missile Crisis, How do you feel about that versus what's going on right now? And they're like, oh, this is way worse right now. I'm like, really? The nuclear weapons sitting off the, a few miles off the coast of Florida? It's worse now than that? They're like, oh, yeah, this feels way worse. I'm like, okay, it's the same answer every time.
Well, I don't know what it is, except that maybe the weaponry is so much more advanced now, and it can reach longer distances, and, I don't know. It does feel pretty frightening. What do you think of those drones over in New Jersey? Is that weird or what?
It's definitely weird, and I don't like the way the current administration is just like, we have no evidence it's a threat. It's like, well, you don't have any evidence it isn't. These aren't manned, regular aircraft. You can see it plainly. It's like, these are groups of drones with lights, and then when the New Jersey cops tried to chase them, and they turned their lights off, and they couldn't follow them because they couldn't see them anymore. I'm like, there's something going on. Whoever's operating them clearly doesn't want to be known. So that's bad.
NADLC. Yeah, and the thing is, they do have all the lights, so it's not like it's a stealth operation. Everybody knows they're there. They're taking pictures of them and everything, but it's just, it's bizarre. You know, I just don't know what to think about stuff nowadays. It's, I don't get it.
KFAYO. Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that one. I don't know. We'll see what happens. We will see.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to stay close to home. Hunker down, pay attention. Hopefully there won't be any surprises, but Ken, I'm going to have to let you go let my dog outside. I'll be back in a sec. NADLC. KFAYL, NADLC.
Yep, I'm here. Dog happy now that he's outside. Our cats don't like it. It's too cold. They want to go by. They want to go outside every day to just check it. But then, yeah, after like 5 minutes, they're at the door. Like it's too cold. I want to come in.
Oh yeah, she's real happy. She absolutely loves the snow. And if she's not getting any attention, she has to go out and play in the snow. And what she does is, our house is up on a hill, and then everything around us goes downhill, down to the chicken coop, down, you know. And we get any little bit of snow, and she goes out, she gets on her belly, and she slides down the hill. And then she runs back up, she rolls around all on her back and everything, and then she goes sliding again. It is hilarious to watch.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Sliding down on her belly. Now our cats are fascinated with our 16-foot Christmas tree in here, but as soon as you put lights on, as soon as I put lights on it, they don't go anywhere near it, which is pretty hilarious. They think it's like their personal playscape without lights, but as soon as I get lights on it, they're like, I don't know, they don't like the lights, those LED lights.
I've seen some of those videos of cats climbing to Christmas trees, and then the next thing you know, it's all toppling over and everything's crashing to the ground. Oh, my gosh. We had a cat years ago, and we couldn't hang the ornaments on the bottom, you know, on the bottom branches or anything, because she'd go through and she'd whack them all off. But, yeah, you can't trust a cat, man.
See? We hang one ornament on the bottom that's purposely for the cat, so it's designed to be like a cat toy ornament so they can hit it and ding it and mess with it. And they do that, but yeah, you can't put the regular ornaments on the bottom. They'll rip them off.
So are you guys doing the whole Christmas thing at your place, or are you going somewhere else?
We're doing Christmas here. There's going to be like 15 people on Christmas Eve, so that's going to be that's going to be a lot of fun. But my daughter's coming home for like 5 days, so that's the most time she'll have been here in a long, long while. So it would be good to see her and her boyfriend.
Where does she live?
They live in Columbus. She's in her second year of pharmacy school, and he's graduated. He's a finance major guy where he works in the finance industry.
No, I know Columbus. I was born in Columbus, but that was a long time ago.
Oh, really? That's interesting. Well, my major customer is Honda, which is Marysville, just outside of Columbus. So I spent a lot of time in the Columbus area and going down to Columbus when my Eckhart went to Ohio State undergrad. I can't say I like going into the Columbus City proper. I kind of don't like it. But that's just me.
I kind of hate it. like I say, I was born in Columbus and lived there for about the first 7 years of my life, and then we moved around a great deal. I went to 13 different schools by the time I graduated high school, but we went down to a family reunion, I'm going to say it was September, and I saw some of my dad's side of the family that I hadn't seen in like 40 years. And we had to go through Columbus, and I'll tell you, I will do everything possible to never have to do that again. It was just horrendous.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I can do without it, that's for sure. Seems like her second year of undergrad, she had a car. Before that, she didn't have a car, but every time I go down to Honda, I try to meet her for dinner, but the first year I used to have to go in the city to meet her, and I'm like, man, I can't stand this. This is driving me nuts. And when she gets the car, I'm like, oh, you're coming out. We're going to meet over here. We're going to meet in Delaware, which is just outside of Columbus. I'm like, I don't have to go to the stupid city. You're coming out. I'm not going in.
Yeah, I know Delaware very well. I lived there for a short time as well. When I was about 18 years old, I lived there. But, I have no use for Columbus at all. I have my mom's side of family. Actually, my mom and dad both were down by the Ohio River, West Virginia line. And we find an alternate route when we go down there to visit because we avoid Columbus at all costs.
That part of the Ohio is probably the best part of Ohio. It gets nice and hilly. There's a lot more interesting things down there. It's a little bit more rural. I think that's the best part of Ohio, I think.
Yeah, that's really pretty down there. Now, you know, it's a very, where my one uncle lives, he's got beautiful property, and I keep threatening to go build a little flat up there at the top of his hill. He's got a lot of property out there, and it's very rural, and it is absolutely beautiful. And he says, you come down here anytime you want and put a house up. It's like, don't tempt me. But it is so pretty. But Meigs County, I think they told me that it is the poorest county in the state. Very depressed, but very, very pretty.
Yeah, I hear you on that one. Hey, I got to take a phone call for a few minutes. I'll be back in a little bit. KFAAYL.
NACLC out.
NACLC, KFAAYL. Still out there?
good evening, everyone. This is Jason, KFHCLL, net control for this rendition of the Friday Night Slow Game TV Net. This net meets weekly and will meet weekly after this first rendition on the WHCM and Link computer system here every Friday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. The purpose of this net is to provide a platform for amateur radio operators to exchange SSTV images, share information, and promote the use of slow scan television in our community. This is a directed net, so please follow the instructions of net control. If you have an emergency or priority traffic at any time, please say break, and we will pause the net to handle it. At this time, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call net control now if there is. Alright, hearing none, we will now move on to check-in. Please check in with your call sign, name, and type of check-in. There are three check-in types. Send / receive check-in. This means you will be sending and receiving images and commenting on images. And there is the number two, listen only check-in, which is what Ricky, KFHCPT, will be doing as soon as I go for check-in. He'll probably be my first check-in so far because he's already ready and prepared for this net. He's actually recording it live for his YouTube channel. And then finally, we have the in-and-out check-in. Those are for any mobile people or just people who just want to check in but don't really feel the need to participate for tonight's session. You will now begin with check-in. As I said, please check in with your call sign, name, and check-in type. When you check in, please let us know if you'll be sending, receiving, or just receiving images tonight. I will take check-ins in groups. Please queue up and check in when I call for check-in. So, if we have any check-ins for send/receive, basically full time, please call now. This is Kilo Foxtrot 8, Charlie Papa Papa, KFHCPP. And this will be a listen-only check-in. All right, that was KF8CCP, and that's Ricky, right? Correct. All right, at this time, do we have any more send/receive or full-time check-ins? Please call now. Alright, hearing no further check-ins besides me and Ricky, I am now going to move on to nothing because there's no one else checked in. So at this time, I will thank Ricky for joining, and we're now going to quickly conclude the net because... You know what, I'll ask Ricky, should we go for one more check-ins call or no? Because I feel like just wrapping it up now. Ricky, KFHCPP, what is your opinion on this situation? This is KFACPP. Go for one more round. KFACLL. Okay, we will run one more check-in call. Any calls for check-ins? Full-time send/receive check-ins for the Friday Night Slow Scan TV Net. If you have any check-ins for this, please call now. All right, we don't have any further check-ins, so I'm going to conclude this session, this very first session of the net. We will be promoting it throughout the next coming days until next Friday, which I do have exams that Friday in school. It's a half day, so instead of us running it on a specific time on Fridays, it will just be ran on Fridays. So if you want to chime in, it will most likely be in the afternoon or evening. So next Friday at anywhere from most likely, I would say 4 o'clock p.m. all the way up to 9 p.m. Be expecting the net to kick off next Friday. And we're going to say 73 to you, Ricky, for joining in. And just have a good one. And we will now be returning this to Peter to regular amateur use. Ricky, you'll take 73 KFACLL. KFACLL will be clear after your final. HCPP, this is KFHCLL, do you copy?
It's HCPP, this is KFHCLL, do you copy?
This is KFHCPP, yes, I do have a copy. Yeah, I'm thinking about running some SSCV nets every Friday at any time between 4 p.m. and 9 p.m. We'll be able to run them, so it'll be afternoon, evening type nets, and I think it'll be pretty fun. How about you? What do you think about that?
I mean, you do have a tendency, like, to change your mind a lot, so I'd say I'm just going to leave it up to you.
Yeah, so that should be fine. I'm sorry, I had to press some buttons on my keypad. That's even more so, because I didn't want to interrupt my signal too much. Just make it sound like that instead. I don't know.
Demon G is currently at 143 in the queue, so we'll be playing Demon G on the phone in a little bit. Test out my driving skills on a keyboard and hopefully get my controller finally connected so I can test it with that. And hopefully this Christmas I also can get that dipole kit, because that's going to help my signal propagation a lot. I'm sure, because I'll be able to set it probably on the roof with that length of coax that it comes with, and then run that coax from the roof down into the bottom of my window, and then into the main core for my radio, and then do that. It's going to be a roof-mount antenna, and it should work pretty well. It should work at least better than what I've got now. Anyway, back to you, Ricky. This is KFHCLL.
Nice, nice. Alright. I think I'm going to let you go now, because my battery on my radio is about to die. So, this is KF8CPP, 73 to you, Jason, and I will see you around on the air again, I'm sure. 73, KF8CPP will be going clear.
KF8CLL, I'll be going to clear after your final as well, and the 73. KFHCLL will be monitoring.
Kilo Foxtrot 8, Charlie Lima Lima will be going clear.